Blog Talk Radio.
If you knew what my girl drew, Cameron D and Destiny, Charlie's Angels, come on.
Come on. Bring it.
Question, tell me what you think about me. I buy my own diamonds and I buy my own rings. Only ring your celly when I'm feeling lonely. When it's all over, please get up and leave. Question, tell me how you feel.
Well, hello and welcome to the third show of Wealthy Sisters. This is sponsored by the Professional Black Woman. And we are so excited to have you on the call today. We celebrate the lives of six and seven figure women of color. And our purpose is twofold today. First, we want to inspire and encourage the listener. And second, we want to edify, promote, acknowledge, and just say thank you to the sisters for doing big things. I'm Deborah Hartnett, your host, broadcasting live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Today is Monday, July 27, 2009, and we are here every week at the same time. Yes, that's right. That's Mondays at 12 noon Eastern. So spread the word. Now, today, we have an awesome show for you today. Trust me, our guests are two extraordinary women. They represent the definition of success for many, but not only do they have the financial knowledge and the financial to know what it means to be financially independent, but they also have a huge, huge philanthropy heart. So we want them, you all to recognize that you have some powerful ladies on the show today. Ms. Carlotta Oliver and Charlie McCracken. Carlotta serves as the Managing Director of Business Development for Black Knight Assets Management. She is one of the founding partners of the firm and brings nearly three decades of investment experience to include asset management and investment banking. In addition to two businesses now, listen to this, in addition to business development, Carlotta serves as the Chief Operating Officer responsible for the firm-wide personal matters. Prior to joining Black Knight, Carlotta was the Vice President of Institutional Sales for HGK Asset Management, focusing on public fund sales. She has served as principal for the CJO Marketing and Consulting, where she provided marketing and also information on branding and strategic positioning for emerging firms. Now, also, she serves as the Managing Director for Business Development and Client Service for Jugendhal Capital Management, developing business strategy and multi-product positioning. Carlotta has been marketing in this marketing career with Western Asset Management, where she was responsible for gathering more than $7 billion in public sector allocations for the firm. She also currently now was asked by the mayor to manage a fund of over $1 billion in retirement assets. So I will not delay this young lady from you any longer. Ms. Carlotta Oliver, are you there?
I'm here, Deborah. How are you today?
Oh, wow. We are so excited. We're doing wonderful. Very, very grateful to have you on the line. Such an incredible and impressive background. Can you share with us how you actually got into a field that we know primarily is male-dominated?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm honored and blessed to be here. Thank you for having me. I think it's one of those things where God puts you where you need to be when he wants you to be there. And I always wanted to be an accounting major and worked for the McDonald's Corporation, yes, the hamburger people, in the corporate office when I was very young, and met some friends there who had left and went to work in this business. And one of them called me and said, how would you like to name how much money you make? I was 21 years old. Who wouldn't? And she said, well, call these people. And I knew nothing about the investment business. I didn't know the difference between a stock and a bond. And I went and interviewed, and they said, how soon can you come to work for us, and how much would make you happy to come and work for us? At the time, it was $1,200 a month, and I thought I was wealthy. And
yes.
I went to work for them. They taught me the business, and the rest, as they say, is God's blessing and history.
Wow. So tell me, how long have you been in this actual field now?
I have been working for one or another Wall Street firm for 29 years this year. I started in 1980. I started working for Cantor Fitzgerald, which we knew is one of the firms that was destroyed in 2001 on 9/11. I worked for their office in Beverly Hills for 8 years. That's where I got my start in this business.
Well, I remember you were sharing with me when we were getting acquainted about the interview, how you actually moved from, I guess, the California area and your experience there, I guess how you moved to the New York area, and you shared with me where your building was located. You mind sharing that with our listeners today?
Absolutely not. I had worked for Western Asset, which is a very large investment management firm. Located in Pasadena, and now they have several other offices. But at the time, I was the 32nd employee, so I was there when it was a smaller firm. And John Udendahl, who is an entrepreneur in his own right, owns several businesses in New York, had followed my career unbeknownst to me and made me an offer that I could not refuse. And they tell you, be careful what you pray for because God is listening, and he has a sense of humor. And he offered me a job, and I moved from California to New York because I always said I want to grow up and live and work in Manhattan. And
okay.
So I left beautiful, sunny Southern California, and I moved to Manhattan. I had a beautiful apartment, if you can say that with the small apartments in New York. And I worked downtown on Wall Street, and on 9/11, I was getting out of a taxi in front of our building when the first plane hit the tower, and we were two blocks from ground zero, and I heard the big boom, and the taxi driver said, what was that? And I said, I don't know. It sounded like, you know, something clapped in the sky. Maybe we're going to have rain. And I got out of the taxi, and people were running who I guess had actually saw it. And one guy said to me, lady, get out of the way. You know, a plane just hit the building. And I thought, a helicopter. You know, it couldn't have been a plane. And I said, yeah, right, sure. And went to go into my building, and I ran into John, and he said, well, let's go this way. And we walked away from the building, and we happened to get into his truck because his driver had just dropped him off, and he came back and picked him up. John, of course, being the boss that he was, went back to the building to check on the other employees, and the driver and I sat in the truck waiting for him to come back, and all of a sudden I happened to look up, and I saw the first tower crumble. I heard an explosion, and I saw it look like very exactly like what they show us in television when they blow up a building. It's not a joke. It happens for real. And I kept thinking to myself when I saw things coming out of the windows, that's not people. That's got to be chairs. It couldn't be people. I mean, it looked like people, but it couldn't be people. Got to be chairs. It's 105 stories up. And so I tell people when they say what they saw on television, and I say I was standing there watching it. I was in the street watching it. But because of the favor of God, I was unscathed. I didn't even have dust on my shoes.
My. So how, I mean, I know you contribute that to definitely the favor of God, and we're so grateful, you know, for his favor and for him sparing you for this moment. How did that experience shape your life today in what you are doing as far as business and as far as how you actually have, like I mentioned earlier, you're such a great philanthropist here in the Baltimore area?
Well, I think what happened, I went to a church in Baltimore when I moved from the West Coast to the East Coast, and I met the mayor because we went to the same church, and she was then a city council person. She became city council president, and then, of course, as you know, city council, she became the mayor. And so what she did was the retirement system in Baltimore has, the city's retirement system is a seven-person board, and the seven people are responsible for oversight. We have a staff that actually executes the work, but we're responsible for the oversight of the management of the fund. So we manage the retirement system. The people who work for the city put their money in with the hopes that when they retire, there's going to be enough money for them to get money until they go on, and then money for their beneficiaries. And she asked me when she was running for mayor, I said, whatever you need me to do, I'll help you do. And I got a call from her office saying, the mayor has decided she wants to appoint you to the retirement board. And I said, well, Okay, that's fine, but didn't sound like a lot of fun. Having been in the business and knowing what they do, I thought, okay, but the liquor board might be more fun. And I talked to the mayor, and she said, I really need your help, because in order for us to make sure that we do all the things that we say as a city we're doing, that we want to make sure that we have the participation of, you know, the mayor has a voice on the board. So at least, you know, there's 7 votes, so at least we know what the mayor's voice is. And so I accepted the appointment, and it's a 4-year term. And so I sit there, myself and one other gentleman who is also appointed by the mayor. So the two of us sit there, and 3 of the other employees are board members are elected by the active employees. There's one person who is elected by the retirees, and then the city comptroller, who sits on the board as an ex officio by virtue of her position.
Okay, well, I know that is definitely a huge responsibility, and what a way to spend your time helping to make sure that someone's retirement fund is properly managed, especially today where we've seen a lot of, I guess, mismanagement or a lot of things that's happened in the economy to affect someone's retirement. So I'm sure what you're doing there is greatly appreciated as well. Now, I know you spoke earlier several times about how you said you always wanted something, or you've always spoke something, like you said, you always said you were going to live in Manhattan. How important do you think speaking or visualizing what you want is to you actually obtaining that?
Well, I believe that if in fact you have goals and you don't say them, you don't speak them, and you don't write them down, then they don't come to pass. And so in order for you to be able to execute what your vision is, you have to know what that vision is. And it can't be something that randomly runs around in your head. Otherwise, I don't believe that you get, at least for me personally, you don't stay focused, because the day-to-day things that happen in life happens, and we have to maneuver within what happens. And there are outside forces beside me, and there are people that you come in contact with that ultimately have an effect on your life. And so if you don't know what your goals are, you can lose focus. And you look around and you say, well, I intended to do that, and what happened? I forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you speak it and when you write it down, then you know this is what my goal is. And I might get sidetracked, but eventually I know what my purpose is, and I know what it is that I want to do. I know what my destiny is, and if I come back to it, even though I might get sidetracked, I'm always going to come back to it.
Mm. So when you write it down, are you the type of person, you know, I hear a lot of times we write goals down, we put them all over the walls or what have you. Some people put it in a journal. What works best for you, or what has worked best for you in your life?
I think because of my spiritual background, what I do is I tend to write things down, and then I try to find out how I can, you know, because I want to make sure that even in my prayer life, my prayers are focused. I don't want to randomly ask God to give me a big house. Well, which big house? And so I make sure that when I write down what it is I want, usually if it's specific things, I'll put it in my Bible. I have a journal that I take notes when I go to Bible study, or when I go to hear someone speak, and I'll take notes. And so if there's something that I believe that I take away that will help me get to where I want to go, I write it in that journal.
Now, have you always had this mindset, or like was your background, your family, you know, first of all, are you from a big family, and did you, you know, maybe see your parents model the goal setting, and what made you actually go on this path, I guess?
I think because both of my parents were divorced when I was born, and my godfather is a retired pastor, and my mother and my father both, while they agreed on little, they agreed on education was the most important thing in the world, and it wasn't that you had to go to school. You had to go to school and be the best at school.
Okay.
I am my parents' only child, And so I had, from both sides, always pushing me that you have to be the best in school, you have to be the best in school. And I learned when I was probably in fifth or sixth grade that I had a photographic memory. And so that allowed me to be lazy in many instances. And so as I got to be an adult, and I realized that some of the things that I thought I wanted to do, I had not done. And so it was, well, I thought I wanted to do that, but I forgot. Well, I forgot about it. Now I have a photographic memory, so how did I forget? Because I didn't take a picture of it. I didn't mm-hmm. write it down, and I didn't speak it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I write it down, I can write something in a journal, and I have 25 journals on the bookshelf I'm looking at. I could pretty much tell you if I wrote something down that I wanted to remember which journal it's in.
Mm.
But if I don't write it down and it's just in my head, unless I have something tangible to connect it to, I might lose it.
That's true. You know, what's that saying they say that, a short pencil is better than a long memory any day?
Yes.
You know, and just this whole Facebook has just been so clear. I mean, there are people in my life, or and I'm sure everybody can relate to this, you know, you're growing up and you have people that you see every day and you just know that you would never, ever, ever forget them because they're in your lives every day. But, you know, here 20 years go by and, you know, you're living life, you've moved on, you know, you have family, and now, you know, you see people here on Facebook that you say, oh my gosh, how did I ever forget about them, you know, because like you said, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and if we can do that with people in our lives, you are so right about how important it is for us to actually write those things down and have it where we can see it so that we can, you know, make it tangible. I love that. I love that. What would you say to a young woman today, or not necessarily, you know, someone, maybe someone is want to change focus, you know, and has always looked at the investment field and maybe have been intimidated by it because of the appearance of, oh, that's a male-dominated field or what have you. What steps would you suggest a person takes who's interested in becoming or having the type of career that you've had in this field?
It is actually absolutely a male-dominated field. It is designed to keep us out.
Mm-hmm.
I would say there are organizations that are coming forth now that are more inclusive, but I think what happens now is young people have to understand that you have to be, particularly if you are a person of color, and this goes for young men as well as young women, but particularly as for young women, you have to be armed with all the tools. So you need to have your degree. You need to, if you're coming right out of school, you need to have a CFA designation, which is a chartered financial analyst, which gives you the ability to say, I want to work on the investment side, I want to work on the marketing side, I want to work on the client service side. But you understand all parts of it once you've gone through the CFA. It's a 3-year process to you take level 1, level 2, and level 3, and then you get the CFA designation. And it's like you see doctors or PhDs, and they write their name, and behind their name it says PhD. Every CFA, behind their name it says CFA. And it is recognized worldwide in the financial community. If you don't want to do a CFA, you need an MBA.
Okay.
It's absolutely crucial that you have an advanced degree if you don't have any experience in our business.
Okay. Okay. And so, you know, there are a lot of schools that have programs out there. I see you got yours from the University of Phoenix and Regis University as well. What schools would you suggest, or is there a certain plan or program they should look for?
Anything that is related to finance. There, I know people in the business that have economics degrees. There are people that have, you know, MBA degrees. There are some people that have masters in finance. There are people that have masters in accounting, anything that is going to be in the financial field in an advanced degree is acceptable and will help you particularly if you're coming into this business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So with that in mind, all of the great things that you've accomplished, I mean, you, like we discussed already, you're being a part of the board here in the Baltimore area, the company that you have as well, your position that you hold there, the partnership there, all the great things that you've done. What else do you want to do? What are some of the other things you have on your list that you plan to accomplish within the next 2 to 3 years?
The next 2 to 3 years, I think, is primarily focused on trying to grow our business. We started in 2007, and as everyone knows, whether you have any financial literacy or not, you know that last year was probably one of the most difficult years for Wall Street since the Great Depression. And so...
Mm-hmm.
We've been fortunate in that we've still been able to grow the business, but not as quickly as we'd like to. And as the market changes, the ability to gather assets becomes more challenging. So I think, you know, in the near term, it would be to try and, you know, gather more assets from a business standpoint. Also for my role as a trustee for the city, I would like to, you know, be able to gain more knowledge that would help the board in our decision-making process on how we help the board, because every retirement system in the country has struggled because the market has struggled. It's not indicative of any fund anywhere. I mean, if you look at, you know, Xerox, my guess is their retirement system is probably off 20 to 40%. The market's off 40%. It's a fact of life. So, I mean, I'd like to be able to be instrumental in helping to try and see, you know, come up with ways that will help us to do, you know, be better managers, or I would say to help the fund to be able to grow more in the next few years until my term is up. And I think personally, I've just finally reached a point where I am comfortable with where I am, and so now it's I'm going to spend at least the next 12 to 18 months figuring out what I want to do next for Carlotta. That's personal. Whether it's, do I want to, you know, I've been married and divorced. I have an adult daughter. So do I want to get married again? What do I want to do?
Oh, wow. So just kind of like reinventing yourself or rediscovering yourself.
Exactly.
And you're saying that's okay to still do.
Absolutely. When we don't, when we stop living, we die.
Yeah, I know. I love the way my great grandmother, she would say, you know, I want to stay green because when I'm ripe, I'm dead. You know, and I'm not turning anymore. It's over.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it has just been a true pleasure having the time with you. We're so grateful as well. Please let us know. Give us your website. Give us your contact information, because I know we have some phenomenal listeners that would really want to perhaps get in contact with you.
I'll give you my email address. It's C. Oliver, which is my first initial and last name, dot Clover like the spice. MD, like the state, Maryland, at Verizon.net.
All right. Give it to us one more time.
COliver.CloverMD, all one word, at Verizon.net.
All right. Excellent. Well, you have been great. If you can hang on there for a second, we might have a few people that have a few calls or have a few questions before we move forward. Once again, you just heard the lovely Miss Carlotta Oliver. This, again, is Deborah Hartnett, and we'd like to introduce to you our company, Deborah Hartnett International. We offer complete branding and marketing promotion packages while using all forms of media, print, and internet. So definitely check us out at www.deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, hardnett.com. Also, we'd like to just invite, I know we've had a few seats available. We've sent out a special invite to any individuals who are in the D.C., Virginia, Maryland area. We have a phenomenal transformation coach that's coming to town. This lady, Ms. Linda Clemens, has been in the field for over 30 years. She's been in radio and television for more than 15 years as well. She's a multimillionaire, made her first million by age 30, a body language expert. She can pull you out of the audience and tell you things about yourself that you only your mama and God knows, but she is a sales strategist and traveled globally, literally, doing these training seminars. She's coming to town. She has a huge heart. She wants to give back to a sister. She's going to be here August 18th for one night only. It's only $59. We'll be at the Sheraton at Columbia Town Center. Again, that's only $59. We're having dinner. And she's going to actually take people out of the audience and give them information, practical, strategic information on how they can help their businesses. And I tell you what, 2 weeks ago, she had a coaching session with me, and it literally changed my business. I started to see things increase, just the practical knowledge that she shared with me. So I encourage you to go to our site, www.deborahhartnett.com. Click on the Financial Breakthrough tab. And if I sent you the invitation and you haven't registered, please go ahead and register. Like I said, we only have 50 seats available, and most of them have already been taken now. So that's www.deborahhartnett.com. Click on the Financial Breakthrough tab, and you can register right away for that. Well, I tell you what, this show has been going phenomenal. You think we've had someone, I'm telling you, we got, like I said, two phenomenal ladies on the show today. Our next guest, Ms. Charlie McCracken, is just awesome. She has such a sweet, sweet spirit. She is the Chief Executive Officer for Motivational Pearls Enterprise, LLC, and a personal and business development consulting organization, and Executive Director now of the Decorum Group Incorporated. This is an etiquette and enrichment training organization designed to address the social development needs of children ages 6 through 19. She's also the president of Atlanta Women Connect, a strategic alliance membership organization that practices the principle of cooperative economics. We need to know about that now, providing business leads, information, tools, and resources to assist these businesses. Also, she is the author of Pathway to Success, which is a series of process to help people pave the bridge of life. We sure need that so that they can get from where they are now to where we want to be. Charlie is unquestionably proficient at providing high-impact programs in personal development. Please, I want to welcome you to the line and to the call today, Ms. Charlie McCracken. Please forgive me. Are you there?
Oh, my God.
Can we hear you, Ms. Charlie?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Welcome to the show. It's such a pleasure having you today.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, Deborah, for this opportunity.
Yes, and I understand you are in my lovely hometown of Atlanta.
I am, and I love it.
How's it treating you today?
Well, actually, God is awesome today, and as any other day, it's an opportunity to excel and to find your dreams and to live them out. So I love every new day. It's a chance to get it right.
All right. I love it. I love it. Each day we wake up, we have a new opportunity to do it right. I love that. I love it. So where are you originally from?
I'm from Philadelphia, actually.
Well, wow. How long have you been in Atlanta, and how did you get from Philly to Atlanta?
I actually have been here for 16 years, and I came here to rediscover myself, just like Miss Oliver was talking about, to give myself an opportunity to spread my wings, independent of my family, the church traditions that we were associated with, the community. I actually came here and didn't know anyone. And I moved here to create a life of my own choosing. And I have never regretted it. Not at all.
Wow, that's interesting. You know, we've had several guests now, and one of the key things I remember last week, our guest, Ms. Berry, mentioned how she actually picked up and moved. You know, what made you do that? I mean, was it any fear there? I mean, how could you leave your family, your connections?
Well, actually, I found that I wasn't able to express myself and use my gifts and talents in the way that I chose to use them. I found that I'm blessed, and there are some things that I do well, and my family would have me do those things. But after working and being a part of my church and my community, there was just something missing. And it was a good thing for me, because what it did was it removed the buffer between myself and God, and I was able to communicate with Him directly and find out what it was that He created me for.
Mm-hmm. What did you find out? I mean, what do you feel, or what has been your life purpose, or what you have been created for? Do you really know what that is now?
Absolutely, and I've known for some time. And let me tell you, the liberation of knowing that you are walking in it every day is something that words cannot describe. What I found out I was a connector. I was a resource tool to be mm-hmm. used to take information, tools, and other things, and to put it in perspective for other people to actually reach their success. So in reality, my success comes from helping other people be successful. That's why I'm an advocate for women business owners, and for children. My whole goal is to help them walk the pathway to success, to get from where they are now to where they want to be, as we said in the introduction. That's my goal. I'm a connector.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I discovered was that I'm really good with information. I can find it when other people can't find it. I can comprehend it when other people can't understand it. And I can take large volumes of information and break it into stepping stones, one step at a time. Do this, then do this, then do this, so that people will understand it and have a process that they can follow to actually pursue their dreams and pursue their goals. And so, being that we do live in an information age, and it's been like that for quite some time, when I do business or when I pursue a goal, I think about a couple of things. I think about if what I am doing is actually fulfilling a need for someone. I think about if what I am doing is solving a problem for someone. And I also consider if I'm making someone feel better about themselves. Am I helping them reach their goals so that they feel proud? Am I helping them feel confident by gaining new skills? What am I doing to solve those three questions? And if I'm not doing something in that field, I don't do it. It has nothing to do with my purpose. So I'm always looking to fulfill goals, solve problems, and make people feel good about themselves. And that's what I learned about myself.
That's awesome. I mean, I know T. Harv Eker, who actually wrote The Secrets of a Millionaire Mind, one of my favorite books. I've been reacquainted with that. He says the definition of an entrepreneur is a problem solver, you know, something that you do on a daily basis and being in business for yourself. How have you implemented that in your business as far as solving problems and gaining new skills?
Well, it's been such a blessing. Since I've been in business for about 8 years, I've never advertised, ever. It's a word-of-mouth thing. And people come to me based on the testimonies of other people. They have a particular situation that they are in, and they may or may not have an option for getting out of it. And what they want to do is they want to know what's available, what's my next move, what's the thing that I do to solve this particular problem. And what I do is I don't give them the answer. What I tell them is I can do nothing for you. Everything that you need is inside of you. My job is to connect you to that, because we were created with everything inside of us to do what God designed us to do. I don't recommend that people get jobs. I recommend that they start businesses for themselves. However, if they are in a career, I tell them to look for the reason why they're there. Why do you think God placed you there? And I actually help them understand what it is that God wants them to do, introduce them to themselves, and then help them come up with a success plan, something that they can use, some tool that they can use to reach their goals.
Mm. Now, with that in mind, you know, helping them with the tools to reach the goal, how does a person really know, you know, how, I guess I should say this, you're talking about information and you're giving people tips and you're helping them strategically plan and solve problems. How are you able to introduce the concept of time and money? Because we understand a lot of times in this field of consulting, people don't really understand that there is a value placed on the information and your time that you're giving to that person. How have you been able to successfully bridge that gap?
I'm really glad you asked that. One of the things that I always tell people is that we've heard the old adage that time is money.
Mm-hmm.
And I beg to differ. And this is why. Time is something that when you get it, if you don't use it properly, you can never get it again. Time is also something that you should not allow others to place a value on. However, if you run out of money, there's always ways to get more money. So time is infinitely more valuable than money. And so I don't begin with money. I begin with time. In other words, we use the time wisely to acquire the things that we need. Here's an example. Lady who I was talking to over the weekend, and she was telling me that she's spending most of her time doing administrative tasks in her business. And I submitted to her that if you can downsize something in your life to be able to pay administrative staff an hourly wage, $15, $20 an hour, if you can find that in your budget, then you can release that $20 an hour job and you can go out and do a $200 an hour job, which is find new clients, entertain the clients that you have so that they can buy more products from you. If you can spend your time actually working with marketing people and PR people to actually get your business out there, then you'll be using your time better. You're a business owner. You're not a secretary. And a lot of times when people start their business, they try to do everything themselves. And I try to help them find ways that they can release those duties so that they can maximize their time to make the dollars that they want to make.
Mm-hmm. You have truly said a mouthful, especially today with the computer where we can do everything ourselves. We can send the emails. We can design programs. We can, you know, what have you, business cards. We can do all of that. But that is so true because it is so time-consuming. Well, what practical tip would you give someone that's in that situation, that's doing everything, and they need some assistance and feel like, I can't afford to pay anybody? What would you suggest the person does?
Well, one of the things that I find is very rewarding is that you find someone in your community. What I did last year, I had a database that I needed to put together, and there was a little girl in my church who was required to do volunteer hours. I spent 2 hours training her how to design the database, and she was able to complete that database for me in 2 weeks. So it took her about 25 to 30 hours to actually complete the database for me, which meant that I could now contact my contacts easier. I had their emails that I could sort. I could send out letters to them. I could communicate with them by phone very easily because she compiled all the information for me. So it solved my problem and freed me up for 30 hours. And it also helped her reach her goal in school to do the volunteer hours in the community. Another way that we can do it is we can go to technical colleges. Technical colleges require that their soon-to-be graduates do internships and externships. And when we have a project that we're working on, we can talk to the school authorities and see if there are students who actually would help us meet our needs and meet their goal at the same time. Because they don't get a salary. This is a part of their training. It's their hands-on training. And if you have a couple of hours to spend with them and really teach them and train them well, communicate effectively with them what it is that you need, you can take your hands off. And you know that that person is going to handle that project for you.
Mm-hmm.
Another way that we can do it is we can barter. There's a lady that I know who is unemployed, and I really don't have a lot of money to give her, but I have some money to give her. So I told her, I said, if you do one small project for me this week, I think she spent 5 or 6 hours on it, I'll go through my cabinets and give you food, and I'll take $10,000 and I'll go out and I'll buy your groceries for the week. So those are just a few creative things that we can do. It's always in a win-win situation. In other words, how can I get something done and engage someone who also has a need? So I do a few things like that. But one of the things that really works out well, excuse me, in my organization, Atlanta Women Connect, we barter for services. In other words, I barter for administrative services, and I'll do an email campaign for you. So now no money has exchanged hands at all, and we both get what we need. The person that I'm bartering with gets an email campaign that's going to help them sell their product, and they've done some administrative tasks for me. So there are many different ways that you can think about it if you just get creative.
So using your creativity is definitely the key. Those are some great tips. You said go to the college. You know, and I also heard of the interns as well. You can get someone to actually do those things for you. That's an awesome idea there. Now, tell us about your book, Pathway to Success, and I understand this is a series here. You're going to continue on with this title, or what has been your whole purpose, and how has that been writing for you?
You know, Pathway to Success has been an evolutionary process for me. I never intended it to be this way. Pathway to Success started out as a personal development project for my own personal self. How do I reach my goals? How do I learn to take responsibility for the results in my life? How do I manage my time more properly? How do I get the resources and things that I need? So I set out for 12 months to focus on one particular thing about my character, my abilities, or my knowledge, and to enhance that particular area. And what I did was I attached to it a statement that allowed me to hold myself accountable. In other words, one of the stepping stones in Pathway to Success is that my life and the results in it are my personal responsibility. And if I want to have success, I'm the only one that can get it for me. So I focused on that statement for a whole month. And what it did was it allowed me to open up my eyes and see opportunities around me that I may not have seen prior to that. So I focused on that statement and focused on that statement until I started to find doors that I could open or that were already open for me. So Pathway to Success is really a group of 12 stepping stones that you use to just walk into a higher level of functioning, holding yourself accountable, and really pursuing your dreams. So it requires that you know what you want, you have an idea of how you can possibly get it, and that you actually put that into action with goals. So at the end of the Pathway to Success book, what people have is they have a strategic plan for their life that says, this is the goal that I want. Let's say I want to start a business. Well, in month one, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do my paperwork for my business. In month two, I'm going to start letting people know about what it is that I do to stimulate some interest. In part three, I'm going to go out and I'm going to talk to some people who could potentially be my customers. I'm going to target my market. I'm going to do my research. And it goes on and on and on until people reach their goal, whatever that goal may be. It doesn't have to be something like starting a business. It can be, how can I get better control over my children? So Pathway to Success is a personal development tool. In any way that people want to use it, you can use it for business or personal. But what happened over the years, when I first started, most of the clients that I had were people who were having relationship problems either on their job or in their family, or they had some personal problem, like I don't have high self-esteem. And I would coach them through it with Pathway to Success. But what has happened is the needs of people have changed. And so Pathway to Success has grown to meet those needs. Because one of the things that I tell people to do every year is to look at your products and your services and ask yourself the question, are they still relevant in the version that they exist? Do I need to enhance them? Do I need to change to something else? Do I need to get rid of them altogether? Or do I need to put them lower on the priority list of the products I'm going to try to sell? Because life changes and life evolves. And what has happened is my clientele base has gone from women who feel bad about themselves or need to communicate more effectively to women business owners. And so okay. women business owners, now they need to know how to start a business. So I teach a course called the 12 Stepping Stones from Employee to Employer. I also teach another class called the Pathway to Success Business Plan Excellence. So see, it has evolved. Now, just recently, with all of the bankruptcies and foreclosures, I'm discovering that my clients now are people who need to get their credit straight. So I offer a credit enhancement, the 12 stepping stones from debt, the 12 stepping stones from owing to building wealth. And so as life goes on, I would like to think that my courses will meet the needs of the people that are around me. And so now instead of being one little series, one book, it is now a series of 8 particular classes that will help people develop themselves personally or professionally.
Wow, that's great. I mean, you really shared a lot of things in what you said there, being that change, we know, is the only thing that's constant. And it is so important, you're right, for us to reevaluate, to see what the times are, what the trends are. And a lot of times I realize we can get in business, especially if we've never been a part of a business before. And you know, you mentioned that too. You have a great course that's available for people to learn how to become a business owner from employee to employer. Because, again, we haven't been taught how to do that, and when we only reference what our point of references are. And if our reference has only been an employee, then a lot of times we're going to respond as a business owner like an employee. So that is great that you have that in place. But, I just recognize a lot of times when we do go in business, we are afraid of change, and it seems sometimes we can be tied to something emotionally and forget that we went in business the first place to make money.
That's correct.
You know,
that's
how,
one of the things, yeah.
How do you help someone detach emotionally and say, wake up, you know, this is not working? Or what is that fine line there between someone not giving up or feeling like they've given up on something, or just realizing that this trend is no longer valuable at this time?
I think that one of the tricks that I use is that I don't answer those questions directly. I probe people. I ask them, is your job related to what God created you to do? I ask them things like, are you happy with the salary? Are you happy with the control mechanism where you have to punch the clock? Are you happy with people controlling your salary, capping it off at a certain amount? I'll pay you $50,000 a year. And if the answer is no, then the alternative is, what can I do to control it myself? How can I take it back? And what I recommend is that, actually, in the Pathway to Success series, there's also a component for leadership. And I recommend that people take that, because in that leadership, it teaches you not only to lead others and be successful with relationships with people who will be working under you, but to lead your own thoughts and your own mind in the direction that you choose. So it's a process that people go through. And I recommend that people get a mentor of someone who is doing what they want to do and being successful at it, and just following them, supporting them, volunteering to help on their projects, accompanying them when they give speeches or they have meetings that is appropriate for them to follow. Because we are so trained to be an employee. But in reality, there's a type of slavery in employment, because there's a limit to the things that you can gain, and there's a limit to the profit and prosperity that you get out of it. You only get one teeny piece of pie, not even a slice, a spoonful, when you talk about corporate America. If you're working in a huge company, you only get 1/1,000th of the benefits if they have 1,000 people working there. And so in order for you to do what you were created to do, in order for you to give back in this community, it's going to take money and it's going to take funds. So it would behoove people to come out of that mindset and to start to think like a leader. And what I tell them is, you can be a leader or you can be a follower. And a follower is somebody who actually can see the vision potentially, but they don't pursue it on their own. But to be a leader, you're going to see the vision, you're going to pursue it with success, and then you're going to show other people how to do it. So I always encourage people that when you're starting a business of your own, work with other people who are new at it and offer services to them. Always take, always keep a student enrolled. Always keep someone there that you are benefiting as well. Always create more of a use value for the products that you offer. And never, ever discount your products because you feel as though you're embarrassed to sell them or they're not really worth it because you're not Home Depot or corporately compete. Because there are a lot of great things that you can do as a small business owner that large corporations can't do. Large corporations are not going to call you back when you said, no, thank you, I don't need your product. Call you back in 2 weeks from now and say, you know, I was thinking about what you said in our conversation. And if this product doesn't work for you, perhaps we'll package it a little differently, and now you can use it. Big companies are not going to do that. There are a lot of things that we can do that help build the confidence level of someone who is new in business to shape and mold their products to have more value add to them. And all of that changes someone from an employee to employer. Take control of your own life, your own mind, and your own dreams.
Well, all right. You have truly said it. You heard it from none other than Miss Charlie McCracken. And I tell you, she's phenomenal. And we had some awesome guests today. Go ahead, Miss McCracken, and give them your web address so that we can reach out to you.
Sure, I would love to do that. It's motivationalpearls.com.
Well, that's easy enough, and we can definitely tell you are a motivational person. That's motivationalpearls.com. Well, what I'm going to do now, definitely, again, want to thank everybody for being on the show today. I am going to open the lines up. I know we may have a few people that would like to ask a question of either Ms. Oliver, who is in the investment field as well, and then also our personal and professional development coach, Ms. Charlie McCracken. So I'm going to open the lines. If you like to, if you're in the chat room, if you like to send a question that you like to ask either the ladies, or you can simply press 1 for any of the callers who have dialed in, and I will be able to open it up for you to ask a question. So we'll take questions now. All right. This is your opportunity. Going once. Going twice. All right. Excellent. Well, we definitely want to thank both of you ladies for tuning in. Ms. Oliver, do you have any closing remarks that you would like to share with us today on some tips or what you would like to encourage others to do?
Just suggest for all of the, particularly the young women that want to get into the investment field, that you understand that it's not something that's going to happen overnight. There's a long process, but more importantly, there are lots and lots of opportunities. And if you get into a field and you decide that's not really what you like, there's always a way to transition to another area. Wall Street has a multitude of opportunities, and I would encourage particularly women of color. There are several organizations, the National Association of Securities Professionals, which is the acronym is NASP, N-A-S-P, is right there in the nation's capital, with Deborah, and I would suggest that you try and reach out to them. They actually have a website, NASP.com. They have branches all over the country, and they have mentor programs. They also have opportunities on their website, entry level as well as experience positions, so that you can get an opportunity to see what's out there. It doesn't have to be a men's only business. It doesn't have to be a male dominated business. Because the women are here, and we're here to stay.
Well, that's all right. I mean, we definitely have most of the buying power today. We are creating businesses. We, you know, creating revenues, paying people. I mean, it's a lot of things that we have for our credit today. So I really, really am grateful to have you on the line today to share that information. And definitely, maybe some of your plans might include some type of mentoring program to ladies or even not just women, but people who are interested in this field, because I know, you know, you really, really have a lot to share. Maybe we could put you on the spot and get that to be one of your things on your list.
I absolutely, I believe that to whom much is given, much is required, and I have probably four or five gentlemen in this business who, many of them of color, but a couple of them who are not, who took me under their wings when I first started in this business. And I tell people that I know what I know and I know how to do what I do because I am blessed and because God placed in my life the right people who were willing to help me. And so at any time that I'm able to help someone else, it is my privilege.
Yes, indeed. Truly, truly. You are so right about that. Helping is so important, you know, and in business, you know, we learn that unless you are serving people and you're offering a service, like Charlie mentioned earlier, you know, you got to be able to solve those problems and help them gain new skills or what have you. If you're not doing that, we're not really, really in business. Because, and you know, the old adage says, from even Zig Ziglar says this, if you help enough people get what they want, then you're going to actually get what you want by default. So you are exactly right on that. And Ms. Charlie, what final closing remarks would you have or tips would you have for our listeners today?
Well, I would encourage everyone to follow Ms. Oliver's lead. Write your goals down. Make them living, breathing part of your life. One of the things I learned from Bob Proctor is I have index cards. And every quarter of the year, I create an index card, and on one side of that index card, I write down a goal. And on the other side of the index card, I write down Matthew 7:7, which says, seek and ye shall find. You know the scripture. And that is meant to keep me strong and keep me focused. So I recommend that you do that. I recommend that you get a mentor and that you find that you invest in your education. Go to seminars, workshops, things like that. If there are women out there who are interested in starting your own business and you just don't know what it is that you want to do, sit down and talk to someone who knows you well, who can tell you your gifts and your talents, and pursue something for a year. I'm not saying that you have to leave your job. I believe in leaving your job with wisdom, trust me. But I believe that you should get with someone who can help you explore your possibilities. And also, if you're in the Atlanta area, please go to my website, Motivational Pearls, and see if there are any of the components that we're offering that may be of service to you. Or if you'd like to talk to me directly, you can get in touch with me through my email box, which is info@motivationalpearls.com. And maybe I can help you discover yourself.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. And you're right about the seminars. And speaking of that, I want to remind everyone that's in the D.C., Virginia, Maryland area about none other than Miss Linda Clemens coming to the area. This lady is a transformation coach. She's phenomenal. She's a multimillionaire, made her first million by age 30. She's coming in town for one day only at the Sheraton Columbia Town Center. That will be Tuesday, August 18th. At 7 p.m. We have dinner. The tickets are only $59, and the seats are going fast. We were limited just for the integrity of the event. We have to keep it a small setting. So definitely go to www.deborahhartnett.com. That's DeborahHartnett.com. Click on the Financial Breakthrough banner to register for that as well. You don't want to miss this event. You know, a lot of times we don't recognize how important it is to get the training, to plug into ourselves or to invest in our brains and to invest in our knowledge. So here's a woman that's doing what we want. Definitely you want to be there. Don't want to miss that event. Once again, you want to reach out to Miss Oliver at coloverclover, C-L-O-V-E-R-M-D, at Verizon.net. We want to thank each and every one for dialing in today and listening and tuning into the show. We also want to thank our special guest as well, Miss Carlotta Oliver and Charlie McCracken. Also, our show has been sponsored by theprofessionalblackwoman.com. Definitely check us out. We offer great services there for you. And we want to say thank you also to willdrake.com. Visit www.willdrake.com. It's a new suspense novel coming in stores November 2009. That's Will Drake, WillDrake.com. And like I said, you don't want to miss that as well. Well, once again, thank you. We want you to tune in next week where we have super empowerment coach, Ms. British Hill. She is a life empowerment coach. She also was a former TV host for Home Shopping Network. And the branding expert, Ms. Melissa Johnson out of Atlanta, Georgia. I tell you, she's branded such celebrities as Shania Twain, Common. I mean, the list goes on and on. Once again, we want to thank you for tuning in. I'm Deborah Hartnett, and this has been another episode of Wealthy Sisters. We look forward to seeing you next week. Make sure you have an awesome day. Take advantage of today. Take action. Don't delay. We want to make sure that you win and recognize we are all winners. Once again, this is Deborah Hartnett with Wealthy Sisters. Have an awesome day.
If you knew what my girl drew, Cameron D and Destiny, Charlie's Angels, come on.
Come on. Bring it.
Question, tell me what you think about me. I buy my own diamonds and I buy my own rings. Only ring your belly when I'm feeling lonely. When it's all over, please get up and leave. Question, tell me how you feel about this. Try to control me, boy, you get dismissed. Pay my own car note and I pay my own bills. Always 50-50 in relation.